print it. Actual has paper and print. Sorry, I guess I'm a throwback. All right. All right. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spirit. Everybody say all spiritual. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the richness of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 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 I'm going to keep on saying it until you listen. You're not listening to me. According to the good pleasure of his will. I want to talk to you very quickly, and I'm very nervous, and I feel like a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. I'm jumpy. But I want to talk to you on this subject, the King's pleasure. Sorry, it's simple, but you know, simple things for simple minds, that's me. So, the King's pleasure. You may be seated. Virtually every archaeologist or archaeological dig, especially in the Middle East, unearthed certain vessels. Most of them are vessels made of pottery. These clay vessels are dug out and looked at and carbon dated and authenticated so much that we look back to these artifacts that are found for accreditation sometimes of certain facts that we hold to be true. These clay pots that they find are used for a variable number of reasons. The well-to-do people didn't use clay. Of course, they use ivory and glass and marble and, you know, just very fine wood to house their valuables in. But common people, just the commoners, usually use clay vessels, even to put things that were very valuable in those clay vessels. And today I want to talk to you about, because the Bible says that we have a treasure that is housed in earthen vessels in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul writes to us and says that for we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power should not be of man, but of God. And so he makes a connection with how they put, how men put very uncommon things in common vessels. and how they put valuable things in those things that seem to have no value within themselves. But when you place something valuable in it, intrinsically, because of what's on the inside of it, it becomes valuable. And so tonight we look at us, we're nothing but clay vessels. We're fragile, but there's something on the inside of us. Somebody help me preach just for a while. If you've got the Holy Ghost, there's something on the inside of you that has value beyond what you know today. If you have truth, if you know the name of Jesus Christ, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and housed the Holy Ghost on the inside of your mortal being, honey, you got value beyond your wildest imagination. We house this treasure. We hold this treasure. We contain the treasure of God in these very clay vessels. These vessels are fragile and they are fickle and they are failing and they are flimsy, but yet an uncommon God has chosen to put an uncommon treasure inside a very common vessel. And I don't know about you, but what an honor it should be for us to know that we bear the power, the spirit, the name. Maybe I'm in the wrong church tonight. I think we take for granted what we have. I think we don't realize the value of what's living on the inside of you right now. I think we misplace value. I think we think other things are more valuable, but I'm telling you, what's living in our souls has more value. Intrinsically, it does not matter what you put it up to. It outweighs anything in this world today. There are two things that have no value, or there are two things that cannot be a price put on. That's something that's worthless and something that's priceless. Let's put it down to where it is. What's on me, what's on the inside of me, it ain't nowhere near worthless, but it is beyond priceless. And I think it's about time we start thinking about the treasure that, oh God, somebody. Some of you come to church and you never move because you don't realize there's a treasure inside of you. You don't ever clap your hands. You don't ever shout because you don't even recognize or realize it hasn't invaded your cosmic mind yet that there is something living in me that has more power and has more value. Somebody shout hallelujah. I want you to know there's something on the inside of me that has more value than I can explain. Now, why did God put this here? I don't know. Why is he entrusting us with his treasure? Why not the wise? Why not the prudent? Why not the intellectual? Why not the exceptional? Why not the elite? Why us? Just common clay vessels. If we begin to tell our testimonies, not many people are going to rise up and say, I had a silver spoon in my mouth or a gold spoon in my mouth or a wood. I didn't even have a wooden spoon in my mouth. We were lucky. We ate with our fingers. Why am I standing in this pulpit today when my daddy was an alcoholic and I didn't know where I was and my progenitors come from slavery with shackles and chains, but yet I stand with... Do you understand what I'm preaching to you today? We've got nothing to hang our head about. You've got nothing to complain about. You ought to be on your feet. You ought. You ought to slap somebody high five and say, God is living in me. Jesus is living in me. The Holy Ghost is living in me. A treasure. A treasure. A treasure that transcends eternity from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, is living in me. Paul says that though that this treasure is here, or rather, because the treasure is here. He goes on and he begins to show us the responsibility of the treasure. Because I house a treasure. Because something is valuable housed within me. There is a thief and a robber and a predator and an enemy that would like to reach down into the depths of my soul and extrapolate this treasure out of me if he could. So Paul says in verse 8 that we are troubled. I wish somebody helped me preach. I feel my help. We are troubled on every side. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But I've had people sit in my office lately, and I've pastored. I'm not pastoring, excuse me. That's the wrong term for me. I don't know what I'm doing. It ain't pastor. I'm in training. But I've had saints that's lived for God all their life coming to me for wisdom, and I don't know nothing. And they sat on the other side of my office with tears in their eyes and said, what's going on, Pastor? Now, some of them are not used to me being pastor. I grew up in that church, and some of them look at me and just call me. They call me Sam. Some of them call me Brother Sam. Every now and then it'll dawn on them that I'm pastor. But usually, Sam, I don't know what's going on. I've been serving God all my life. I've been in church 30 years, and I don't know what's going on. Every time I turn around, there's something here, is something there, is something going on, and I don't know what's happening. Can you help me? And I goes, no, I can't help you because it's happening in my life too. I said, it's like we're all little boats. We're all in a different boat, but we're all in the same storm, being tossed and driven to and fro and moved back and forth. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Y'all, is this all right? Maybe this is not happening in Alabama, but let me tell you what's happening in California. We're troubled on every side. And not only troubled on every side, but troubled in every way. Being pressed and pulled and pressed and pulled and pressed and pulled. And seemingly it feels like your very mortal being will be torn apart. But the Bible says, though we are troubled on every side, yet we are not in distress. But because we know in the middle of our trouble, there is a trouble solver. We understand though we are troubled on every side, nothing is getting to me from the inside, but it's trying to get the treasure. But I howl something. I wish somebody come and help me preach. Though I'm troubled on the outside, the storm does not rage on the inside. On the inside is peace. Peace, wonderful peace, because part of the treasure comes from he who is Prince of Peace. Trouble on every side. depressed. Anybody with me yet? Pressed. Pulled. Pressed. Pull. Something pressing me down and something pulling me out and something straining me through and stress here and there. And doesn't matter where I look. It used to be I'd have one trial and then I'd get a little breather before something happens and something else would come along. But I'd get a little hiatus where I could spring back from the trial I just came through. But it's not like that anymore. It seems like trouble knocks on the door 24/7. 365. It feels like my mind is leaving me. It feels as if I don't get some relief. Surely insanity will become my next friend. It feels, y'all not gonna help me, but I won't preach on it. It feels as if I don't get just a little air, I'm having a spiritual asthmatic attack, pressure on my chest where I can't pray and I can't worship like I want to worship. I'm going to just preach on anyhow. But I come to preach to somebody today. Although we are troubled and not distressed, and we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Despair means without hope. Despair means without a way out. Despair means there's no way help. But I come to tell somebody in Alabama, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. I may be troubled on every side. I may be perplexed beyond despair, but I've got a God that is able. Help me, Holy Ghost. I said, help me, Holy Ghost. I've got a God that is able. And when the devil pressed me down, he pulls me up. When the devil pulls me out, he pulls me in. When my mind goes crazy, he renews my mind. When my strength is gone, he gives me new strength. I wish I had some help in this house. When it looks like, when it smells like, when it tastes like, when it tastes like, I don't have to worry because the King. Brother Bertram, I'm housing the King's treasure. And because I have the King's treasure, then the King is interested not so much in the vessel, but in the treasure that the vessel housed. And so, therefore, because I have the treasure, he's going to take care of the vessel. Somebody come on and help me preach. He's going to make sure the vessel is waterproof, fire resistant. It might look flimsy on the outside, but when you look on the inside, there's a locking mechanism that the devil can't unlock. Tell the devil, try if you want to, but you can't break in. You can't break me down, and you can't break in, because I'm housing the King's treasure.
We just bought a safe. Brother Booker, they told us to make sure that the safe could endure floods, fire, has a double locking mechanism, has a combination and a key. Then they told us to bolt it down to the floor so it becomes theft resistant. Do you think we take better care of our treasure than he takes care of his treasure? Did you really think he's just going to let some cross-eyed, knock-kneed, buck-toothed thief break into and open you up and snatch? No. There's a locking mechanism on you. There's something inside of you that can withstand the fire. You can withstand the oh God, have mercy. You're fireproof. You're fireproof. You're waterproof. You're theft resistant. Why? Because you're housing the king's treasure. Wait, Paul says we're persecuted. That word means that we have been embarrassed, pressured, preyed upon, stalked from place to place without rest, stalked by a predator who never lets up, that stalks in the day, looking for your weaknesses, stalks in the noonday, stalks in the evening, stalks you at night, always pressuring, always pulling, always pressing, always straining, always looking to see how he can extrapolate the treasure. Persecuted. Ah, come on, somebody. Trying to embarrass you. If your God is really who he says he is, why are you going through what you're going through? If God's really real, how come your husband left you? If God is who he says he is, why are your children backslidden? Oh, if God is who he says he is, and if you're so important to him, why are you in foreclosure? Why did your business fail? I'm talking about being persecuted now. I'm talking about putting on the gazing stock now. I'm talking about them making you embarrassed before angels and devils now. You say, why are we going through that? I'm glad you asked. Because we are here housing the king's treasure for the king's pleasure. You're not going to like what I'm preaching. You're going through what you're going through because it pleases him. It's the pleasure of his good. Oh, I know you don't believe this, but it's all right. You know why we don't believe this? Because we have been enchanted. We have been seduced. We have been deceived. We have swallowed hook, line, and sinker. The emerging church theology. We have swallowed. I'm going to preach like I want to preach. We have swallowed the postmodern digital doctrine of prosperity, a chicken in every pot, a BMW in every driveway, a 403k plan for every retirement. And we've got to the place where we don't want to be troubled anymore. We don't want to be perplexed anymore. We don't want to be pushed and shoved. Oh, come on, I'm going to help me preach. I'll help me preach. We don't want no trouble no more. I want my house with 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms and 2 cars. I want to make sure I'm fixed up. And when trouble comes, when crisis comes, we ask and we stumble. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because you house the king's treasure. And what you're going through is for the king's pleasure. Can I ask you a question? How much time do I have? Nobody's saying nothing. How much time do I tell me? Listen, it says that not only are we persecuted, but it says that we are cast down, beaten down, struck down, slapped down, kicked down. But rejoice not against me, O my enemies, when I fall, for I shall, God have mercy. I shall arise. rise. Every time the devil knock you down, you ought to have something in your soul that said, you don't understand. It's treasure for his pleasure, and I'm getting up. I may get knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will certainly come in the morning. Quit your crying and put your war clothes on. Quit your belly aching and murmuring and complaining and go to war. Quit fighting your husband and fight the devil. Quit fighting your wife and fight the devil. Quit fighting your pastor and fight the devil. Quit fighting the doctrine and fight the devil. Quit. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Though my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up. He said, I will never leave you. Some of you don't believe this. You say, why do I feel lonely? There is a difference between solitude and loneliness. Solitude is when I am in a place by myself, but I'm still not alone. Yeah, you're not going to help me. You see, what we call alone is not alone. If so, then the word has made itself a null and void. Because he said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and I will never leave you alone. I am the comforter. I will be with you always until the end. Well, somebody is lying. Maybe soulless comes because I need to get closer to God. Maybe I feel lonely because the God of my salvation is calling out for me to draw closer to him. While you're looking for another man or another woman, you need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The things that we look for, the Bible says, are things which are temporal, that will pass away, that will fade away, that are freely and gone in a moment, but the things have value are those things which are eternal. And the eternal things are things not seen. So I'm perplexed but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. For no weapon. Take my house, but that's not a weapon against me. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. You're not going to help me preach, but hey, church of 2008, you better get ready for the battle. Because the battle is raging whether you want to acknowledge it or not. We are like the United States of 2001, Bishop. In this, Islam was at war with us, and we didn't even know it. Or we choose not to know it. We chose to ignore it. I want to tell you that the devil's at war with you, whether you want to ignore it or acknowledge it. You say, well, what's the answer? There is no answer. Listen. If you don't pray, or let's start with the positive. If you pray, the devil's going to fight you. If you don't pray, that same devil's going to fight you. If you worship, the devil's going to fight you. If you choose not to worship, that same devil's going to fight you. If you praise God, the devil's going to fight you. If you choose to sit there in your attitude and not, the same devil is going to fight you. If you choose to walk with God and live for God and honor God and bless God, the devil's going to fight you. If you choose not, the same devil's going to fight you. Well, if I'm going to be in the fight, I'm going to win. If I'm going to be in a fight, I might as well fight back. You cannot compromise with the devil. You are in a fight whether you want to be or not. Paul says, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have ran the race. And I have finished my course. We are in an antithesis place with the church of the first generation because affliction and trouble were not strangers to them. Tragedy, catastrophe, the unexpected were not things that perplexed them or dismayed them or depressed them. I've never heard of so many Holy Ghost people wanting to commit suicide because they can't take it anymore. And I'm not making a snide remark. Don't get me wrong. Listen. It's real. You're being pressed. Because when the devil presses you, he presses you not on in every way, but on every side. Physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically and spiritually, you will be pressed in every entity of your mortal being. And it's not easy to fall in the pit of despair and then tumble into depression and then slide into oppression and then collapse into despair. And when you get there, a suicidal spirit will visit you and tell you, there is no hope. There is no way. But he is lying. Because God is hope. You didn't hear me. I said God is our hope. And Jesus said, I am the way. Help me, Holy Ghost. Question, where is your limit? When will enough for you be enough? And you just simply said, it's been real and it's been fun. But it hasn't been real fun, and I don't want to play this game anymore. See you, God. You look at me as if you've never contemplated it. You see, suicide is not just physical. Some of you have committed suicide already. You just don't know it. Suicide means I just quit. I'm just quit. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. Here's the American culture. I don't have to put up with this. You're right. So you commit suicide. You quit teaching Sunday school. You quit driving the bus. You quit singing in the choir. You quit ushering. You quit paying tithe. You quit being excited. You quit being involved. Looks like there's more suicide in here than I thought. You quit obeying the pastor. You quit being under authority. You quit being accountable. You quit doing. I guess there's more suicide than okay. Well, then I'll tell you what I'm about to do now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of suicide in this building tonight. And I say, I'm going to live and not die. And I shall continue and not quit. I will finish my course. I'm just going to quit, Brother Bertram. I'm going to quit praying because it ain't doing me any good. The more I pray, the more trouble I have. So I'm going to commit prayer suicide. I'm just going to quit praying. I used to go to church all the time, but now I'm going to commit attendance suicide. I'm just going to go when I feel like going. I'm not going to be as faithful anymore. So I'm going to commit faithfulness suicide. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to die right here. Well, honey, you can die there if you want to. I choose not to die, but I choose to live one more day. You said, why? Because I realize I'm not doing this because of me. I'm doing it for his pleasure. You didn't hear what I said. You're not living for God because you're cute or because you're exceptional. It's because of his good pleasure. He chose you from the foundation. Is anybody hearing what I'm preaching to you? Some of you don't like what I'm preaching, but I said I was going to be nice and not mess with anybody. On the side of my bed, thinking about some of the mess that I'm dealing with now, with tears in my eyes, and I said, if it pleases you, then let it be so. All right. My. Say about me what you want to. I care less. I'm not going to try to hunt you down. I'm not going to try to defend myself to see if it's real or not. Say what you want to say. Think what you want to think with your carnal mind. I don't serve God for you and your little mentality. I serve for his pleasure. And if it be thus for me, then it be thus for me. For I serve not to impress you, but to please him. Because you didn't call me. You couldn't save me. You didn't even love me. You're not so quick to your feet right now, are you? Go ahead and think what you want to think. That and a, well, it used to be a nickel, but that and a dollar gets you a 5 cent pack of gum. I don't serve for you. I don't care what you think about me. Well, I do and I don't. Everybody cares, but I don't care. Because if it pleases him. Now, Father, if this is not pleasing to you, you do something about it. But if it pleases you for me to be thus, then help me to bear what they're saying. And believe me, they're saying, help me to bear what they're saying, even though I know it's not true. But I'm not going to try to stand and somehow right the wrong and try to, you know, I'm not Superman, baby. The only reason is because my suit don't fit anymore. And all the phone booths are gone. It's kind of hard to get naked inside a Verizon store. Let me ask you something. Why do you do what you do? You know why we murmur and complain through, not just one trial, every single trial? every single thing that we, I mean, we are nonstop. You know why? Because we haven't got the revelation that I am pleasing him. We haven't got the revelation. And so when your neighbor gets a bigger car and you don't get one, you complain to God. How come you gave, how do you know he gave her the bigger car or he gave him the better job? Is that what this thing is all about? Who's the bigger and who's the best? Or is it about that I'm a very common vessel? Housing a very uncommon treasure. Why? Because it pleases him. Sorry. I know you're waiting for some deep theological revelation from the nether world. Some mystic ooga booga sit around and chant the Buddha type revelation, but it's just simply because it pleased him. He created the world because it pleased him. You're not going to help me, but it's all right. He let the devil do what he does because it pleases him. And when he gets tired of him, he'll put him in his... You're not going to help me, but it's all right. Everybody's standing. I'm done because I'm about ready to get in trouble. I can feel it already. Let me ask you again. Where is the place you draw the line and say to him, whether it pleases you or not, I'm not doing that. I don't have to take this, and I don't have to do this anymore. And you can take this, and I'm out of here. Thank you very much. I thought about it. I've been through a personal hell for the last 4 years. I've thought about it. Why am I doing this? Heck, I can go back to the medical field and make way more money than this without all this drama, manure, stress, press, pull, anxiety, pressure, trouble, chaos, confusion, turmoil. Until I read it, it says, for it pleased the Father to bruise him. Have you ever read that? I said, what? It pleased the Father to bruise him for me? Because all Isaiah 53 is, he's wounded for my transgression. He's bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace, and by his stripes, I'm healed. And then it pleased the Father. I'm in your book. This is the King James Version of the Bible, not the Rick James Version of the Bible. It pleased the Father to bruise him. So now, I don't want to be bruised. He can be bruised for me, but I will refuse to be bruised for him. He can be oppressed for me, but I can refuse to be pressed. He can shoulder my trouble and bear my burdens and take my sins into his body, but I don't have to go through anything. I can just la-di-da like Tiny Tim tiptoeing through the tulips. I can play spiritual suicide, spiritual hokey pokey. One foot in, take your left foot out. I mean, just get in. What can you find? What can you? The splendor of the King. His robe and majesty, let all the world rejoice. All the world rejoice. He wraps himself in love, and darkness has died. Trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. The world will see. How great. How great is our God.
Listen. Let me ask you something. Bishop, how will the world see the greatness of our God if it's not through the way he delivers us out of our troubles, out of our miseries, out of our calamities? They look at us and we wonder, what is it? It's nothing on the outside of me, but there's something on the inside. Get your head down and get your head up. Lift your head to the air. I said, if it pleases you, if it pleases you, how great. Why don't you lift those hands and worship? Because God, if it pleases you, somebody ought to have their hands raised right now. Somebody. I want us to take one moment and I want us to listen. They're going to play very softly, very softly, very softly, very softly, all the way down to a mere whisper. Piano down to a mere whisper. Everybody down to a mere whisper. We're going to lift our hands. And we're going to ask God, Father, forgive me. I murmured against your will. I've complained when I should have not complained. Because I think this thing is all about me, and I haven't even thought about what you're all about. All over. If we want to go to the next level, folks, I'm not making time here. I want you to lift your hands right now. Let's repent all over the building. Father, forgive us. Wash us in your blood. Sanctify us, God. I purpose in my heart to only bless your name. I'm always going to wonder why, God, but now I know it because it's going to. Come on, would you, in the house, would you lift your voice? Come on. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Come on, somebody. God, I loose the anointing that will break the yokes of chains of the minds of your people right now. I bind the enemy right now. And Satan, it is the Lord that rebuke thee in this house right now in Jesus' name. Because I am more than an overcomer through him that loved us. Come on, come on. All over the building, would you begin to lift your hands and lift your voice and cry out to him?
I want you to let this place reverberate with your prayer. Then I want you to let it reverberate with your praise. Come on, so tell him, God, if it pleases you, I'll be sick until the day I die. If it pleases you, if it pleases you. But if not, then deliver. If not, then heal. If not, then let go, God. But if it pleases you. Now when we begin to worship him, would you begin to worship him right now?
How great.